Hello, I'm Mike Salem. For over 75 years, my dad, Pastor Salem, touched lives all over the world with his love of Jesus. With your support, we at CWH are blessed to be able to continue broadcasting his messages, proclaiming the gospel. We are so encouraged when we read your notes to us. Here are just a couple of online comments recently sent on our way. Greetings to all of you at CWH, and may the love of the Lord reign upon you. How thankful we are to have the CWH ministry spreading the good news of the Lord. We are joyous to have the Lord with us every Sunday. And another comment, I watch every Sunday on television and every day on YouTube. My family watches CWH every Sunday together. Today's message, Money Matters, speaks to what we do with our money and possessions and what it does to us. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And today you're really going to love the sermon. You just can't wait to hear it. It's entitled Money Matters. And so I know you're interested in that, so just stay tuned. Let's see what we got to say. But first of all, the words of the psalmist in chapter 16. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is my light hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so great and so mighty, creator of all the world and all of creation, and we don't even know how much creation there is. And yet you're mindful of each one of us, and you tell us that the hairs of our head are numbered, so you know us intimately and closely. And so we just thank you. We can bring praises and thanks to you, and bless us in our service today. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to begin us today with a song, Trust and Obey. And God bless you, Barb.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no says we will do where He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey.
Thank you, Barb. And that's a sermon in itself right there, to trust Jesus and obey Jesus. And that's the only way to travel. And when you travel that way, you have assurance, and you have peace at heart, you have joy and happiness and the presence of the Lord. Just trust Jesus, obey Jesus. Well, we want to thank all of you for your letters. We read those letters, and my, it's great to hear from you, and that's what helps us as we preach. Or here has a problem, we'll try to help with that problem. Here has a question, we'll try to help that. So we just thank you for your letters. And our first letter is from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And this person writes, "Dear Christian Worship Family, we're so thankful for your worship hour. My husband is 93 years old. He is a World War II veteran. He is unable to attend church. He loves your service. We're so thankful for your service and pray for you daily that God will continue to bless you." And so we want to thank this gentleman for being a veteran of our country, and we always appreciate them so much. And we're just happy also that though they can't get out, a lot of people just can't get out of their homes or their beds or their wheelchairs, and we can be their church, and that we're just thankful that God has opened that door for us. Here's Salem, Oregon, and they write, "Your name is easy to remember because I live in Salem, Oregon. Thank you for having a caring heart towards the lonely, the shut-ins, and the prisoners. Today you mentioned a lady who wrote to you saying she liked your reading the letters better than your sermons, so you took her off the mailing list. That gave me a good laugh." Well, dear brother, you got this all wrong, because we never take anybody off of that list unless they ask us to. Or maybe we've got some we haven't heard from for maybe 10 years, we might drop their name. But if you don't agree with us and you write and tell us about it, that's fine. We think about it, and maybe it's something we should change. And next week, I am going to change something. So tune us in. I'll tell you about that. So we want you to write in and tell us how you feel. We won't take you off until you tell us to. So how can you beat that? Here's Gardner, Massachusetts. "I'm incarcerated in Massachusetts, and I've become a newborn, and I've been newborn again Christian as of the last few months of 2016. I caught your Christian Worship Hour program on our channel. I'm 28 years old." And so here he is in prison. I don't know how long, but I always answer these letters from prisoners, and I tell them this. St. Paul was in prison. And what did he do in prison? He witnessed about Jesus. And so if you know Jesus, and here's a young man, 28 years old, he knows Jesus. So you tell others of what Jesus means to you and how he helps you and how he gives you peace at heart. And you can be a missionary in that prison or wherever you might be. Let's see. Oh, here's good old Rapid City, South Dakota. South Dakota is such a wonderful state. We just love it. And he says, "I drive truck at night, so my body clock is all messed up, and consequently on weekends, I don't always make it to church. When that happens, you guys are my church. I watch you on other Sundays too." And you know, we hear from a good number of truck drivers, and I'm always glad, because we have an office on on a highway that goes right through Aberdeen, and I see those trucks, and some of them are monstrous, and some of them are beautiful. And I think when they go by, maybe that fellow driving that truck's listening to us when we have our Sunday services. And wouldn't that be nice if that had happened? Georgetown, Delaware. I'm nearly 80 years old. I've always believed you make your money by working the sweat of your brow. Now I want to know about all lotteries, and I don't believe they're right. Am I wrong in believing that? I love the Christian Worship Hour and the old-fashioned preaching. God bless you. Well, sister, you're right on. It's wrong to buy lottery tickets. It's gambling, and gambling is wrong. It's wrong because you're trying to get something for nothing. And it's wrong because you're preying on other people's weaknesses and their little children don't have food because they're buying lottery tickets. It's a sin. It's wrong. You ought not have a thing to do with it, with gambling of any sort. Well, now that's not the sermon. We're coming to that, so don't tune us off here. Stay with us. Here's Redlands, California. I am a chronic relapser from meth, alcohol, and drugs. I'm also a backslidden Christian. I need Jesus. So I said the sinner's prayer while I was watching you on Daystar. Please, prayer team, pray that God helps me and heals me so I do his will and not my own. Well, now this is a wonderful letter because I think this is a lady. I can't just remember. It doesn't matter. And there's many people have struggles. We all have struggled with sin of one way or another. Every one of us. That's because of Adam's sin, and his sin passed on all of us. So we're all sinners, and God says there are none righteous, no, not one. So one has this battle, another has that other battle. So we're going to pray for this person, and we sent literature to her and to encourage her. And you can overcome these habits no matter what they are. You can overcome them, but you have to have Jesus to help you. You'll never get it done alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You go to fight Satan in your own flesh and he'll beat you to death every time. But when God tells us when we have the Lord Jesus and we have the Jesus with us and we can say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you because he's a big coward, he's a big bully. And so you have to have Jesus and you have to do what this lady right here. She asked Jesus to come into her, the sinner's prayer. You know what the sinner's prayer is? The sinner's prayer is, dear Jesus, I am a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. That's a sinner's prayer. I prayed it when I was 10 years old. And we have instances. I have a daughter who prayed that prayer when she was 5 years old. She's a grandma now and loving and trusting Jesus. And you have to have the Lord to help you. Let's see, Pensacola, Florida. I have so many blessings. Plus, this is why I put this in. She says, I will never know what harm God has kept me from. I never will know all the harm God has kept me from, and none of us will. Because when we accept Jesus, he has an angel to watch over us and to help us. And when we get to heaven, you're going to be amazed. I believe we'll be amazed at how many close calls we had and didn't know it because the Lord was with us. Isn't that beautiful? I will never know what harm he has kept me from. Well, you'll know when you get to heaven, then we can see Jesus. And then let me see. Let's have one more. Duluth, Minnesota. Oh, yes, Uriah, listen to this. She says, and this is a lady I remember, I have backslidden and I want a new start. I have been suicidal. What happens if you do commit suicide? Do you go to heaven? The family has rejected me. I'm so lonely. And I have a dog, but she has been sick. I think she's dying. That is why I've been thinking about dying with her. I have no one on earth. I'm homebound. Thank you for reading. And so all of us all over the world ought to pray for this lady. Now she asks here, if I commit suicide, will I go to heaven? If you've asked Jesus into your heart and you commit suicide, you'll go to heaven because Jesus paid for all of our sins. Commit suicide is a sin, but Jesus paid for that sin before we were ever born. He paid for all of my sins before I ever was in existence. And so you will go to heaven, but you ought not commit suicide because God gave you that life and he has the right to give it and he has the power, the right to take it. And we don't have any right to take anybody's life like in abortions. And we don't have a right to take our own life. And if you trust Jesus and give things to Jesus, he'll help you through. He'll help you to go over things. St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And so when you trust Jesus, you have a strength that you never had before. And here she is, she's lonely, and her only pet and her closest friend is this dog. And we have other people like that. And so she's worried about her dog and her life. And just to put your faith in Jesus, and he'll give you strength you never had before. And you'll be surprised you can make it. And don't you take your life because it's wrong. God will take it when he's good and ready, not until. I'm 96 years old, and I don't know when God's going to take my life. It sure can't be very long, but I'm not going to take my life. He gave it to me, and he'll take it when he's ready. And that suits me just fine. So we thank you for your letters, but I hope that many more of you will write. And I'll tell you where to write. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And if you can help us with a gift. Now, I tell you, we have to pay for all of our radio. We're on shortwave radio all around the world. Do you know that by shortwave, we reach 90% of the world's population? Shortwave radio. Now, that costs money. It costs for them to do it, to produce it, and it costs, and so we had to pay our way. And so you need to help us. And you say, well, I don't know. If I give him money, I don't know what they'll do with it. Maybe he'll get a fancy car. Maybe he'll build himself a house. Maybe he'll get an airplane, fly an airplane. Can you imagine that, getting an airplane, 96 years old, trying to fly an airplane? You think I'm crazy? Well, I'm going to tell you something. We belong to an organization. It's an international organization. It's called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit all of our books, every penny we get and every penny we save. And they go through us just as we're clean as a hound's tooth. And that's pretty clean, they tell me. I don't know. I haven't had any experience with a hound's tooth, but it's supposed to be spick and span. And we're all above board. So whatever you, when you send a gift, it'll go to the proclamation of the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something else. And it's kind of a secret, but I'm going to let you know in on it. And that is, you can send that over the internet. You can send a gift over the internet. And you do it like this. You get on our website and you get ChristianWorshipHour.com, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then there'll be a place, donate. And you can donate if you're in Norway, if you're in the Philippines, if you're in Germany. I don't care where you are. You can put your money down in your currency. We'll get it in American currency and we'll pay our bills. So get that down, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then I want to also give the word again to those of you on shortwave, because you don't have it. You, all of the rest of you got it on the screen there. But it's Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, and we have a little Bible study we put out. And the month of October. It's harvest, God's harvest, God's harvest. And it's a Bible study. It's free and it's postpaid. And we really ought to charge for it because it costs us something to send it and to do it. But we are such good people. We are just so big-hearted, we send it free. And we're going to send it free till we go broke. And then we won't send it anymore. So you write to us and say for the Christian Worship Hour. And then you ask, and you just ask the new song, the new song. And one more thing, let me mention about this, and that is we can give you CDs and DVDs of all of our services on a free will offering basis. So you write to us now. Here are you on a short wave, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. So now you ask God what to do. Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray. And you give as the Lord leads. And for almost 40 years, God's provided all we need. And I just got a feeling He's going to continue. So, Lord, we thank You for providing our needs. And we thank You for everyone who has a part. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Luke chapter 12. And so if you have your Bibles, you turn to Luke chapter 12. And I know that some of you do. Some of you get all dressed up for church. And some of you have your Bibles. And some of you sit together. And some of you hold hands. And you follow along as we read the Word of God. But whatever you want to do, just so you stay awake. And it always bothers me because I can't tell who's dozing off. I can in church when I'm preaching in church, plain as day, I can see their head just bobs down, then jerks up, and I know, oh, he's back with me again. But I can't tell what's happening. So you're on your honor. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 16. And by the way, in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church, and so this week we're praying for Afghanistan. But first our scripture. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my goods? And he said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for your word, and your word is truth, and your word is instructive. And Lord, you're going to be talking about goods today, money, if you please. And you have a lot to say about that in the Bible. And so we're going to look at that today. And we just pray that you'll have your way in our life. First of all, that we'll open our heart to you and receive you as our Savior. And then secondly, that we'll handle the possessions you give us and we'll handle them the way we should. And so we just leave everything into your hands, knowing that you will guide us and direct us. And if we'll just be open to you, if we'll just listen, if we'll be just submissive, you'll show us the way, you'll give us directions. And Lord, we're praying for the persecuted church today in Afghanistan. They're part of our family, the family of God. Many of them are giving their lives, Lord, and many are being persecuted, and the children are being left without parents and homeless, and the elderly are without a home. And Lord, they're being persecuted, and you know that. And so help them to know that we are praying for them. Help them to know that we admire them for their stand for Jesus. Help them to know that we're better Christians because of them. When we see how they stand true for you, it challenges us to stand true for you wherever we are in the world, whatever country it might be. All over the world, the devil persecutes the people of God, only in some places worse than others. And so we pray for one another. And when we see our brothers and sisters being persecuted and standing firm, it makes us strong. And it encourages us. And in our hearts we say, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to stand up for Jesus no matter what happens. And oh God, who knows, may come to some of us the next day. We don't know, but you know. And so we give ourselves to you. So now in this service, Lord, this is your service. And just speak to hearts and have your own way in every heart and life. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing for us today, He Knows My Name. And God bless you, Melissa.
I have a Maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a Father, He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call, and hears me when I call.
Thank you, Melissa. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He knows my name. Not many people know my name. Oh, the bill collectors all know my name, but not many others. And of all the millions of people, billions of people on the face of the globe, and you mean He knows my name? Well, Jesus says that a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground by what He knows it. He knows everything about us, and He has the hairs of our head numbered, not counted, because it's numbered. So when you lose a hair of your head, a number is missing. And if you think that's marvelous, let me tell you something else about this wonderful God, this wonderful Savior of ours. Tells us that He knows the stars. Now, nobody knows how many stars there is. The astronomers can't even figure out how many galaxies there are. They have no idea how many stars there are. And yet the Bible tells us that God has given every star a name, a cold, black object in space, a name. And so the living soul and that soul that's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, He knows us. He knows our name. Oh, it is so wonderful, because when you're alone, He knows me, He knows my name, He knows where I hurt, He knows where I ache, He knows where I'm wandering. And when I'm drifting away a little bit, He knows my name. And I say, oh, I got to turn back. It's so easy to drift away, but then we know He's watching us. He's watching us in love, praying that we'll come back, that we can come back. Maybe you've drifted away today. You just come back to Jesus. He'll accept you. Tell him you're a sinner. Tell him you're sorry for your sins. He'll forgive you every time. But we want to talk about money, and we want to talk about possessions and what we do with them and what they do with us. What we do with possessions, money, and what money does to us. And you might be surprised when you start to think about it. So we're going to look at the wrong use of possessions, and we're going to look at the right use of possessions. And whether you act on it or not, it'd be just something good to know and have in the back of your mind. Because if you use money correctly and possessions correctly, you'll find joy and happiness in helping others and serving God. Arthur S. Davenport writes about it, and he says, stewardship of possessions is one of the most important teachings of the Bible. It's like a golden thread that runs throughout God's Word from Genesis through Revelation. He says the first biblical reference to an offering to God is that of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. When Abel's offering was accepted, and Cain's unworthy offering was rejected. And then you have also Abram. He paid the tithe, 10% to Melchizedek, 500 years before the law was given on Mount Sinai in Genesis 14, verse 20. So when they say, well, I don't tithe because it's under the law, the tithe was before the law, Genesis 14, 20. Tithing was ordained by God, Leviticus 27, verse 30. It is recognized and pursued by Jacob all of his life, Genesis 28, verse 22. And it was commended by Jesus in Matthew 23, verse 23, and is practiced in the early Christian era. And so when the early Christians tithe, it's a well-established fact. And from day one, the church, the people in the church have taught 10% should be given to the Lord. And it should be the first 10%. Sometimes people say, well, I gave the Lord my last dollar. Never give the Lord your last dollar. Don't ever give him your last dollar. You give him your first dollar. And then you go ahead and what you're going to do. And I want to tell you something. I know what I'm talking about. I lived through the Great Depression. And we didn't have all the income we had was the money we got from selling cream. And I can see my mother getting that check from that creamery. And the first thing she did, she took off 10% for the Lord. And we got groceries with the rest, and then we went home for another week. And so this money, this possessions, we can do it in the right way and the wrong way. So let's look at the wrong way first of all. Jesus tells us in this story about the rich man and how that he had all, he built his barns, and you know the story, we just read it. And so here this man, what he did was he worshiped himself instead of his God. And so that's why he used it wrong. He was an intensely selfish man. He thought only about himself. He didn't think of God, and he didn't think of his poor neighbors, and he didn't think of his employees, and he didn't think of those in need. He thought only of himself. And terrible grief and sorrow comes to those who think only of themselves, what they like, what they want, what pleases them. And they have no heart for those who hurt and those that they destroy and those they trample down. In making their money and getting their wealth. They think nothing of that. And this man that we read about, that Jesus talks about, was a humanist. He was all wrapped up in himself. He didn't care about God or anybody else. He thought only of himself. Listen to him talk. Listen to him talk to himself as he preens himself like an old peacock would. Here he says, what shall I do? What shall I do? I have no place to bestow my crops. This will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will bestow all my goods and my crops. I will say to my soul, listen to him. He's so selfish he doesn't realize that there's a God in heaven. He's so selfish that he doesn't know he wouldn't have one breath let alone wealth. He wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the goodness of God. He doesn't realize that God owns a store and he just works in it. He thinks it's his store. And he takes it all to himself. He's centered in himself. And this man, Jesus said, was a fool. A fool. And then this man considered what was his possession as his own. He talks about him and he says, my fruits, my barns, my corn, my goods, my soul, my this and my that. All of these things. And then, like a crack of thunder in the middle of the night, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? All they're just things. His soul will be lost. Where will his soul be? He doesn't have God. He doesn't have Christ. He doesn't have anything that way. He doesn't have his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's never turned in repentance to God. And his soul is lost. And God says, now in the middle of the night, he's sound asleep. And all of a sudden he woke up. And there it is. And that death angel is there and says, your soul is required. And he says, well, wait till I write my will. Or let me a little get time to get dressed, or let me think it over. Oh no, your soul is required. Bang, and that's it. And so this man, this rich man, did that just that. He thought that he was the chief. He thought he was in control. He's the quarterback, and he'll call all the plays. Nobody will tell him. And then this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then shall so these things be. And Jesus then talks for the benefit of us all. He says, so he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. God tells us plain as day that we need to look at this, that these things belong to God. And then another thing about this man that was so wrong is that he stuffed his body and he starved his soul. Stuffed his body and starved his soul. Everything this man thought of had to do with his sensual, earthy, had to do with his body. His thoughts never, his always was about his stomach and never about his soul. And that man's body is going to be gone. It's going to be put in the grave, but that spirit and that soul is going to go on forever and ever in heaven or hell. The most important thing he had was his soul, and he didn't even look at it. He stuffed his body and starved his soul. And so that night, before he went to bed, he was so rich on earth. And he's going to build tomorrow. And the workmen's all planned. They got it planned. They're going to start at the break of day. And they're going to build big barns. He's going to store up for, oh, he's going to store up. He stuffed his stomach and he just filled himself. And I'm supposed he probably went to bed that night and he had a big meal. And he just ate till fell. And then he had to take Alka-Seltzer all night or something. I don't know what they used, but he had to use something. His stomach was so packed full he didn't know what to do. And his poor soul was destitute. His body was jammed full, but his soul was destitute. He wasn't ready to meet God. He wasn't ready for eternity. He was not ready for heaven. And he's going to find himself in eternal torment. Oh, that poor soul. And something else about this man that made him a fool is that he thought more about time than he did eternity. He's all mixed up in his values. The world would call this man a genius. Time magazine would have a story on him, have him on the cover page. Here he didn't have anything. And by his ingenuity and his genius and his planning and all of maybe dishonesty, I don't know, but he became rich and he'd be storied. And Time magazine would call him a genius and God would call him a fool. Because he was a fool because he could only see the here and the now. He could only take the thing that he could get in his hand. The only thing that he'd do was have what he could handle. He was all taken up with today. He didn't have about anything about tomorrow. He lived for today. He didn't think that ever tomorrow would ever come. He'd always have tomorrow. And that man was on a pilgrimage. And he He had no, and he was going into eternity now, and he's not prepared for that. And where will he be? Oh, God, have mercy on his soul. Oh, I've seen it. I've been in the ministry 73 years now. And I've seen so many people, some of them so rich and so powerful, and some of them who used money in the right way and blessed God and blessed his work and helped people. But most of them that I've seen, when in eternity a pauper, they were wealthy in this world, and in the next world they had nothing, nothing. It was all taken away. James asks about this, and he asks about your life. He says, what is your life? And then he answers it in the book of James. And he says, it's a vapor that appears for a time. And that is true. Our life is just like a vapor. We're in such a short time. We, even if we have more than 70, even if we have 96 years, and we get letters from people 97, 98, I'm jealous of every one of them. Every time it gets somebody older than me, I just get upset. But there they are. So you may get 70, you may get 100. I don't know, but I know this. The time's going to come that it goes so fast. It's like a vapor. It's like water spilled on the ground. It's no time and it's gone. And I'm going to tell you something else. My old granddad of over 100 told me one time, he said, every year goes faster. And I found that to be true. Every year, you would think that at 96, everything would slow down. The children are taking care of themselves and you don't have to climb up that corporate ladder and you don't have to please anybody anymore and you don't have any peer pressure to do anything wrong. They're all gone. And you think you could just sit and twiddle your thumbs and time would drag. It goes faster, faster, and faster. And God says your life is like a vapor and it's just for a moment's time. But eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever, and it'll never end in heaven or in hell. And this man was a fool because he used all of his precious time in things of this earth, the things that are transient, the things that pass away, the things that have no lasting, the things that are going to die when he dies. They're all going to be gone because he nothing planned for the future. Nothing planned for the future. Those are some of the things we can do, and it's a wrong use of possessions. But let's look at a few minutes now at the right use of possessions. The right use of possessions, first of all, is to obey God and to give a tithe. And I know it isn't easy, and it never is easy. But when you love the Lord, you can just do it and give it first, because you are saying this when you tithe. You are saying, All of this belongs to God. And I'm going to recognize you, God, by giving at least 10%. And some, as we're going to come in just a few minutes, if you're making a fortune, you should give a fortune. And so you're just thinking about just the things next door. We're not thinking about anything else, but just right now. And so this tithe, when we give it, the first thing we're saying, God, you're first in my life. Of all the things I have, of all the possessions I have, the most important thing in my life is you, God, and I'm going to show you by giving that 10%, not off of the bottom, but off of the top. And we need to remember that, because all of these things belong to God. I read the story about a church, and they were located next to a supermarket. And since then, the church was short on parking spaces. And the supermarket wasn't open on Sundays, so they had that big, beautiful parking lot there. And so the church asked the owner of it, could we use that parking lot? Since you don't use it, could we use it on Sunday? It sure could be handy. And the owner said, why, yes, that's exactly, you sure can do it. I'm glad to do that. You can have it 51 Sundays out of the year. 51. Well, there's 52 Sundays in a year. And so some of the church members says, well, what about that other week? There's 52 Sundays. How come we only get them 51 Sundays? And this is what the owner of the supermarket said. That week, I'll chain off the lot. So you always remember the lot belongs to me and not to the church. That's exactly what God is doing. He says, I'm putting up a little something, this 10%. I want you to remember that everything you have, everything you put your fingers on, I own that. I own the store. You just work in it. And so we give it because, and so God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. There's a formula for mature Christian giving, for Christians, for all of us. He says, on the first day of the week, that's periodically, every week, we make our tithe to the Lord. Our giving should be regular. It should be, now some of you have an annual income, and so that may vary, and so you may not give it the first day of the week, but you need to give it when it comes in, when the harvest comes in, or when the business prospers, or when the books are totaled, and you take that 10% for the Lord, and it ought to be a habit. And when I pastored the church, we always gave our children, we gave them offering envelopes so that they can make an offering to the Lord week by week and month by month. They bring an offering to the Lord because, dear God, all that I have, my very breath, my heartbeat, that belongs to you. And I want you to know that I recognize you and I love you and I want to give it. And there's joy in giving. I can tell you that. It's a great joy to give a tithe to the Lord. And I remember when I was a boy out on the farm, and my mother taught us to tithe. 10% goes to the Lord. And you know how I made some money? I didn't get an allowance. I carried in the wood and all that. That was just part of being the family. I don't know about these allowances for children. I guess that's up to you parents. But we didn't get an allowance. We just worked, and we're glad to do it. But we could make a little money, and the way we could do it is if we found some eggs. Now, you couldn't take them out of the hen house because that was your part of your job to get the hen out of the hen house. But you could go by the haystacks, and sometimes these chickens would hide a nest somewhere. And if you got those eggs, Mother gave me 10 cents a dozen for the eggs I could find, and I took a penny out of that dime every time. And God knows that's the only way to do it. And that is a periodically ought to come just like taking your breath. And then he says it ought to be personally giving. Let every one of you, that means every member of the family, teach the children to give. Give a tithe to the Lord. This is my Lord. This is my God. And I'm loving you. And that's what we were taught. And my brothers and I grew up, and some of them made a lot more money than I'll ever make, but they always gave a tithe, and even better, because a little bit later, Paul says, and lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. As God has prospered him. In other words, God is telling us, you'll give a proportion. Well, so if you give 1%, you say, that's a proportion, 1%. Well, God says it ought to be 10%. That's the starting point. But if God really prospers you, you ought to give more. And I remember one young man, he started giving tithing. And then he went into business, and he only had to give $5 a week. And then all of a sudden, he got a lot of money. He was given $500 a week, and he came to the pastor, and he says, I can't afford it. He says, what am I going to do? I'm paying over $500 a week. And that's a lot of money. And the pastor says, we can take care of that. Let's kneel down and pray. And he started to pray, dear Lord, John's here, and he can't pay $500. Help him to lose business and bring him down, Lord, back to that $5. Oh, stop, pastor. I got the message clear as a bell. R.G. Letourneau gave 90% of all of his income to the Lord God. 90%. And I've preached this for 73 years. Of course, he hasn't been in business that long, but all these years since he's been in business. In World War II, he really came on the scene. He helped the United States build airports and bridges and dams and such as that with his big earth-moving equipment. And so they say, well, if I made money like R.G. Letourneau, I'd give 90% too. And my favorite thing is, I said, do you give 10% now? Well, no. Well, you wouldn't give 90 if you had it either. That's exactly it. You have to just give it for the Lord, serve the Lord. And so God calls upon that. Warren Wiersbe talks about it. He says there's no question that in the Old Testament, law required tithing. Luke 27, verse 30, Deuteronomy 14, 22. Abraham practiced tithing long before the law was given, Genesis 14, 20. And Jacob followed his grandfather's example, Genesis 28, 20 to 22. And then Wiersbe says, the principles of Christian giving under grace are given in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And we need to give that 10% and give it to the Lord and do it with rejoicing. The late Dr. Harry Ironside amplifies this truth. He says that the least a consistent child of God in Old Testament times could give was a tenth. Certainly, as a Christian living under grace, I should not do less than was required under the consistent Jew, the tenth. Therefore, I will be the minimum. I'll give more according as God prospers. And so this is what we need to do. We need to think about this. And the Macedonians are a great example. We are told that they were in deep poverty, and yet they abounded in their giving. And somebody said, how could it be these Macedonians? They are desperately poor, and they abound in their giving. They give liberally. How can it be? And we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 and 5, they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's where it begins. We give ourselves to the Lord. And then it's not going to make sense for you. And it's not going to sound reasonable until you give yourself to the Lord. And you say, how do I give myself to the Lord? I want to give myself to the Lord. I don't even know how. Let me tell you how. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, God says, Jesus is telling us, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of our heart, the door of our life. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And Jesus says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. So you just simply pray, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And maybe Billy Graham says, if you have some big sin that really is big, name your sins if you want to name some of them. But just tell him you're a sinner. Now, God knows that you're a sinner, but he wants us to confess it to him. Oh, dear God, I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I promise to serve you. You see, Jesus taught repentance. He told the woman taken in the sin, go and sin no more. That means she never commit a sin. But he says, get out of your business of prostitution and live for the Lord the best you can. We're all going to fail. We're never going to be perfect till we meet the Lord. But we make an effort to serve him and follow him the best we can. So, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Take away my sin. And I promise to follow you as best I can as long as I live. And dear Jesus, I thank you for saving my soul. And then after you do that, after you pray that, then you tell somebody. Tell somebody. Now, if you're doing that right now, you write to us and we'll send you literature to help you get started in the Christian life. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. For all of you on the shortwave, get this down. Let me give it to you. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, SD, South Dakota, 57402 USA. We need to have you write to us and we'll send you literature to help you get started in the Christian life. And if you don't get the literature right away, if you don't write to us right away, be sure to read the Gospel of John. Start reading the Gospel of John. It's the most beautiful, I think, of all of the Gospels. Read chapter John. But write to us. And maybe you want to help us in the work. Maybe you want others to hear about the gospel. So you need to send us a gift. If you want to have that new song, the little Bible study, you'll just love it. I know you will. And it's put in terms that you don't have to have a college professor, seminary professor to read it. It's so every day the children can understand it. And just ask the new song. I'd like to have the new song, free and postpaid. And you just pray, and you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And then when just tell your friends to tune us in and listen to the Christian Worship Hour, because God will speak to hearts. And take those possessions and use them to the glory of God. Don't get upset and don't get mad and don't get up a miff tree because maybe I've said something you didn't like. Just take it as from the Lord. It's what gets all out of the Bible. Every bit is out of the Bible. And you just do that and walk with the Lord. Now we're going to pray for you. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church too. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for this time together. And we're just praying for the persecuted church. And then we're praying, Lord, for those who are just accepting you. All over the world, people are praying right now to accept you as their Savior. We thank you for them. And we pray that you'll help them as they get out their Bible and read their Bible and pray and walk the Christian life. We pray for the shut-ins. We pray for the lonely. We pray for those that are at their wits' end, those that don't know which way to turn. Help them to know that if they ask you into, they ask you into their heart, you'll come into their heart, and they'll be with you, and they'll be there to comfort and strengthen you. Bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you made that prayer, the Lord is in your life. So you tell somebody what you did. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. And then you get that Bible and you start reading, start in the Gospel of John and pray and talk to Jesus. And you say, well, I don't know the thee and the thou. You don't need thee and thou. You just tell him in your own words how you feel. And then you write to us and you pray for us. And someday we'll all get together in heaven. And oh, I think of the people over the years now for 40 years, many of those people are in the presence of the Lord and they're waiting, and I can't wait to get there to see them. And yet more have to come, and we want you to come. And God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Come to Jesus. And then write to us and pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And next Sunday, we're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to see the beauty can be found in the Christian life. You're going to love it. So God bless you. God loves you. We love you. And we'll look for you next weekend, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.